A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go. Welcome to Jason and John on a Wednesday. Get the work week, hump day, as Jason would say. Jason's a big proponent of hump day.
I like hump day.
Hump day.
Yeah, it's hump day. It's the day in the middle.
It is indeed the day in the middle. Got Grizz in action later this afternoon against the Orlando Magic. Two of the best teams, I would say, in Summer League when they are fully healthy. How healthy will the Grizzlies be is the question. We will get into that here in just a little bit. United States going to be taking on Serbia here momentarily in an international friendly. Touch on that. USA, a big favorite. A big favorite against the team that has the second best odds in its group when the Olympics start a little bit later this month. We'll talk about that. A number one receiver potentially wants a trade in the NFL. Discuss that. That could certainly send some shockwaves through the NFL if it indeed goes down. So a lot to get to today on the show. Set it up. Dan Woken. Has never been on this show. He has never been on the Jason and John show ever.
His inaugural appearance.
That's right. Obviously, because he was mostly he was exclusive with Gary, right? He would go on with Gary.
Well, I don't think he was exclusive. I think that he was on Gary's show, but he would have probably come on your show.
He would have, but you know, I didn't want to get into the politics of that, as you know how that goes, man. You know, so I just avoided it altogether. But I've known Dan for a long time, I met him, you know, when he was the Tiger beat writer. He's a Tiger beat writer here in Memphis, and then. Funny enough, first time I went to New York, he had just moved there. He was working for the Daily.
Yep.
And we met up. And so I've known Dan for, I don't know, probably, you know, 16 years. I've known him for a long time. I've never had him on my show. And so I'm looking forward to having him on the show today. We will talk to him. I want to really get his thoughts on some prospects, some NBA Summer League prospects. Obviously, Reese Isay there in Atlanta. He's in Atlanta. Want to get his thoughts on Edie and what he thinks about him as a pro. We'll also talk to him about Memphis basketball because he doesn't write as much about Memphis basketball as he once did, obviously. But I know, like, there's very few, like, There's only a few, I would say, only a few people in the national media that understand truly Memphis basketball, right? That really, really get it. GP is one of them, for sure. And I would say Dan Woken. I would say Dan Woken is maybe the other. I think Goodman does, for sure, because he's been here and he's covered it for a long time. But, you know, when you're a beat writer, you know, which GP and Dan both were, man, it gives you a totally different view. Like, you know all of it. You know the ins, the outs, what it should be, what it shouldn't be. And so we'll talk to Dan about all that and more at 11:25. So that's exciting. And then Jason Smith will join us at 1:25. And this is not a radio hit. This is not a radio hit. It is two friends talking.
Oh, fun. I look at them as one and the same.
It's just a, you know, his son told him no radio hits this week. So this is how he sort of skirted that.
The edict.
This is just two friends talking.
Hey, I enjoy talking to friends. That's usually how I view the show.
So he's going to join us at 125, and he's back from New York. Okay. So we'll just talk to him about his experience up there. We'll get his thoughts on Edie not playing. I know he'll have some thoughts on that for sure. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it as always. But we have a lot of things going on today, believe it or not. A lot of games going on, believe it or not. Let's do a little over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under.
Quick update before the Grizzlies. They have tipped off in the Serbia-USA game. Just tipped off and no score. So I think they will handle Serbia today. I think this should be not as close as the Australia game, so we'll give you updates on that. Yeah. Starting with the Grizzlies game, which is tonight, a little earlier against the Magic at 6 o'clock. You can catch it on ESPN+. Both teams 2-0. Margin of victory for the Memphis Grizzlies later tonight in Summer League. We've got a number set at 3, over-under.
Over-under.
So full disclosure. I've made a bet
okay.
on this game, which I will get to here in just a minute. Mm-hmm. Margin of victory, I am going to say under.
Okay.
I'm going to say under.
I'm here for this. Let's hear it.
And the reason why is pretty simple. When you look at what happened the other night in the Dallas game, Cam Spencer turns his ankle pretty bad, leaves the game. Laravia comes up limping. He leaves the game. There's just no reason to press.
Well, I see where we're going with this.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, you're 2-0 and you've been playing well and, all of that. But I think as far as I'm concerned with the Summer League, and I think the Grizzlies will take the same approach, it's time to put it on ice.
Let's not press.
It's time to put it on ice.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, there's no reason to bring Edie back. Right.
Amen.
I mean, you know,
I've said this from the get go,
especially now when you sort of contextualize it with the other injuries. Mm-hmm. So Gigi is done. Cam is done.
Shut him down, yeah.
Laravia is done. Scottie Pippen is done.
Yeah.
All those guys are done.
Makes sense.
And it's going to be the Isaiah Miller and Dickey Giroux show.
Right, yeah. Do we get any of our guy from Olive Branch?
DJ, yeah. I mean,
DJ,
why not?
I mean, let DJ Jeffries roast a little bit.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly how I would That's exactly how I would approach this game today and the rest of the Summer League. And the reason, so that's why I actually played the Magic at +4.5.
Interesting.
It's now 3.5. You know, I don't think the Magic are going to rest guys because if you look at the guys that the Magic are playing, it's Jet Howard, it's Anthony Black, and it's Tristan Da Silva. Those are sort of the core players of this Summer League team. And none of those guys is guaranteed a spot in the rotation next year, right? Jet Howard wasn't playing last year. Anthony Black was playing out of necessity, but they went out and they got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sort of to avoid that. So those guys, I think, have a lot of reasons to still play. And obviously, Tristan Da Silva, same situation behind Paolo and those guys. So I think you're going to see more of those guys than you will. Like, as far as the Grizzlies are concerned, Jake Laravia is going to be battling and fighting for a spot in the rotation. I mean, he very well could be the 8th, 9th man.
Yep.
So I would not, you know, I as far as I'm concerned with Laravia and how well he's played, I've seen enough to sort of, like, he's given himself, I feel, momentum going into September in training camp, you know, to feel like he's got a chance. I feel like he's done that already.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Cam, you know.
Cam looks fantastic.
I got to figure out what to do with him.
He's impressive. He's an NBA player, in my opinion.
He's put a decision on me.
Yes.
He's put a decision on me. And I don't know. I don't know.
Man, he's a player.
I don't know. It's tough. Although I don't think there's anything he could show either, you know.
I think that's fair.
Again, he's sort of, we know what the Cam Spencer bag is. He's a maniac. He makes shots. I think there's value in having a guy like that on your game day roster.
Yeah.
You know, again, you're going to have to figure out the size disparity, but you got size. That's the good news. You got a lot of it with Jaren and Zach Edey. You don't have to have it at every position. So I think that's just that'd be my approach. I just feel like the Grizzlies are and should be very happy with what they've seen in Summer League from players that, you know, outside of the debacle in the first game, I mean, Gigi's looked pretty good. But we know with him it's not about showing it in the Summer League. It's about doing it with the, you know, these Grizzlies and doing it you know, against real NBA teams. That's the next phase for Gigi. We know he could get buckets on some awesome random dudes, you know, some janitors. So that's how I would approach it tonight, Brad. I don't know that they will do that, but I think that's the logical way. And this is a pretty conservative franchise when it comes to things like this.
I like that you look at these through the betting lens, and it seems like there's some money to be made in some of these games if you got a little bit of an edge versus the regular season. Is that that's kind of the vibe I'm getting here.
100%. But it makes you think about, like, the whole thing, right? Like,
yeah.
when you come at it from that perspective, from a numbers perspective, you have to weigh, like, you know, again, I know that Summer League is not nearly as important to people listening
right.
as it is to me.
Yeah.
It's a totally different endeavor, you know what I mean? But I also think that in watching these games, the way I've been watching them, you can learn some things.
Well, isn't it like there's sort of like levels to the preseason, including the summer? You have the draft and then free agency. You see who's going to be in camp. You see who's going to be a G League or a two-way player or a player like Cam Spencer that you drafted in the second round. Three or four games, like, you can't gauge much in these summer league games one way or the other, except for, yeah, he probably needs to play some preseason basketball games against real NBA players, and I think Cam's probably in that camp, right?
For sure.
You know, Gigi is way beyond that,
yeah.
Probably.
I mean, again, I think you're just deciding whether or not to sort of count how often you're going to carry Cam. I mean, I think
That's
he's going to be with the hustle.
Yeah, I think that's
assume,
fair.
But has he maybe, you know...
I think Jemison has been not talked about as much. I know you're not too high on him as a backup, but I mean, he's probably going to get some action for the NBA squad.
Yeah, I hope not.
I know.
I hope not.
They're thin after Edie, though. That's why you need him.
There's
got
to be a better option out there
than
Trey Jemison.
Right. We have not found one outside of Brandon Clark.
I mean, I think that might be it, right? Like that. Like, you might just have to use Brandon at the backup five for the majority of the time. Or move Jared over to the five in spots.
Yeah, like that.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know about the Jemison piece. I do know in terms of, you know, the guys that have shown well, Edie showed well, Cam showed well, Laravia showed well, Scottie Pippen has been great.
He's really good.
And Gigi has been pretty good overall. So,
yeah.
Again, I don't know how much more I can really expect to get out of it. You know, I don't care about a Las Vegas. Like, a Las Vegas Summer League Championship is for losers. It just is.
That's
like, that's what you try to celebrate when you can't win the real one. You know?
That's right.
Like, the Cavs won it last year,
yeah.
You know, and that's great for them. But, I mean, who was, like, it was like Sam Merrill last year, right? It wasn't even like, oh, this is the star. Did the Thunder win the Summer League Championship?
Last year's Summer League
Last year it was the Cavs. I'm thinking, did the Thunder win it ever? You know what I mean? Like, in the last 3 to 4 years.
It doesn't feel like it.
I don't know. Maybe
they've had a young NBA team.
I don't know if they – well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you know, these guys would have played Summer League conceivably,
sure.
Some of them. But I don't think they won the Summer League Championship. So it's not even like some – what I'm trying to get at is it's not some indicator that, oh, you're about to take off.
That's right.
It means literally nothing. It means literally nothing. And so I think, you know, at this point, let's just put it on ice and move on with our lives. Let the other guys get their minutes and let them fight it out. If you're nicked at all, you're done.
5:08 remaining in the first quarter. U.S. down 14-13 to Serbia early first quarter action.
There you go.
Let's go to last night's Summer League action with the Wizards. Alex Sarr, he had 15 shots. You can fill in the rest here. Shots that Alex Sarr made last night. A line at half a shot. Did he make any?
The guy went 0 of 15.
This is something here.
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing.
Did you have money on it?
Of course.
Yeah.
But this isn't about that, right?
No, I got it.
Like, it's not like money where it makes me mad if I win, or if it doesn't change. I got to come to work tomorrow if I win. You know what I'm saying?
I got it.
But when you do invest in it, you have more interest, right? You're watching a little closer.
It helps. It actually helps the analysis. Yes.
It is.
You're in it.
Absolutely made me better at my job.
Yep.
Absolutely made me better at my job.
Yep.
Because I don't care about Alex Sarr, right? He plays for the Wizards.
Outside of, we didn't pick him or have an opportunity to pick him, and he sucks.
Whatever. You know,
possibly.
Like, he would matter none to me.
Yeah.
Unless I was invested in his performance yesterday, which I happen to be.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I know that we are sort of told not to, you know, inject much meaning into Summer League performances, good or bad, but it is...
Whether it's Bronny or Alex Sarr or any of these cats.
It is impossible for me. It is impossible for me to forget and put out of my mind what I watched last night with Alex Sarr. Now, he was going up against Klingon. in fairness to him, he was going up against Klingon.
Yeah.
But he's going to be going up against Klingon every night. Like some guy like Klingon. That's his position.
Yeah.
He's a five, right? And, dude, he looked like he was, like, overmatched. He looked like he was overmatched. Like, he looked like he just did not belong in the league. It was that bad. He was short on four or five-footers. He was airballing five-footers. He was airballing threes. He was, he looked skittish. He looked skittish, and he kept shooting. And you would just think, like, by, like, you know, the law of averages, the guy is going to accidentally make a shot, right?
Yeah.
But it was like he was so scared. Like, he would get the ball. There was one play where he actually got the ball, had a chance to dunk it, but he didn't go up strong enough, so he got fouled. Then he missed both free throws. Like, the guy was positively terrible last night, and he was the number two pick in the draft.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry. I don't believe that if you go 0-15 in a summer league game that you're allowed to be a good NBA player.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible. I don't think that is a logical thing that could happen. Like, you could go 3-15. You could go 4-20. You can't go 0-15. You can't miss every single shot you take in a summer league game. And at that volume. I just refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe that is a – like you cannot say – like, these two sentences can't accompany each other. Alex Saar once went 0-15 in a summer league game.
Yeah.
Alex Saar went on to become an 8-time All-Star. Not happening. Not happening. We're not talking about a 12 pick. We're not talking about a 24 pick. We're talking about the number 2 pick. A guy that was in play for number 1 if he would have worked out with Atlanta.
Yes.
He said he didn't want to go to Atlanta.
Wow.
So he would have gotten drafted in Atlanta if he had been willing to work out for them. And he wasn't. And he would have been the number 1 pick if he did.
So I'm reading the ABC column about this. If it were a regular season basketball game, Alex Saar's 15 field goals without a make would be tied for the second most in NBA history. That's the second most ever if that were a regular season game. He was in the NBL. I was not familiar with his game because I didn't watch any NBL games last year. But all you heard going into the draft was Alex Saar. So far he's averaging 6.7 and 6.7 rebounds, 3 games in the Las Vegas Summer League, averaging 3 blocks. He struggled to score, shot below 35%. Now he's close. So you would think that some of these shots would go in. This is pretty bad. This guy, it might be a bust. Can we say? I mean, if we were betting on it, what would we bet?
Yeah. We would
bet bust.
I think bust would be the favorite.
I mean, he's 19, so he's got time. But, you know, Gigi is 19.
Yeah, man. I mean, 0-15 in a summer league is hard to...
It's tough.
It's hard to look at that. And it was like, it was the combination of shots. It was right. Like he missed everywhere on the floor. He missed, it was like a Dr. Seuss book. He missed inside. He missed outside. He missed on the left wing. He missed on the right wing.
Wow.
He missed everywhere.
These are mid-range to short range.
No, he took some threes. He took some threes now. I mean, you know, he steps out, but he wasn't close.
Yeah.
He wasn't close on any of them. And
he's a true five, John. Like, he'll be seeing.
I mean, he's going to play. I mean, that's going to be the matchup. I mean, he doesn't look like it, but that's going to be the matchup. I mean, he got destroyed. He got destroyed by Klingon. And, you know, Klingon was the 7th pick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Everybody bragging about him, too.
He was not the number 2 pick.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I come away with that and from that thinking, you know, the top 2 picks in this draft may not have an all-star appearance between them.
Wow.
It's certainly possible. I don't think Saar has a chance. I'm done. I'm writing him off. I don't think he's going to be a successful professional basketball player. I just don't know how you can have how that kind of performance is in you.
Right.
Right? And then you go on to be a great pro. I just don't think that's, especially in a franchise like the Wizards, where there's going to be no development. It's going to be a bunch of young guys. You got to play with Jordan Poole.
Bad minutes.
I just don't think it's going to happen for him, man. It's a bad situation. And it was one of the worst summer league performances I think we've ever seen last night.
Wow.
From a guy of that caliber.
That's crazy.
You know, from a guy of that caliber.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the answer to this is under. He made no shots last night for the Washington Wizards.
Interesting. All right, let's go to the Grizzlies. Power rankings for the NBA teams. Power ranking of the Grizzlies set at 13.5.
Over. Under.
Yeah, so again, this is like this is not really my opinion. This is just this is factual.
Okay, this is like a lines that are coming out of the books.
But if you had asked me and you'd give me that number, I would say under for sure. Okay. And it ends up it is under. It's 13 up at ESPN.com. Okay. In the post free agency NBA power rankings, ESPN has the Memphis Grizzlies 13th. And this is what Bobby Marks writes about the Grizzlies. A team that won 27 games last season typically would have seen major changes in the offseason, but Memphis was hampered last season by both Ja Morant's early season suspension and injuries up and down the roster, including Morant's season-ending shoulder issue. The Grizzlies will return a healthy Morant and a strong starting lineup that includes Marcus Smart, Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Memphis also drafted Zach Edey at 9 to complement Jackson in the front court. A silver lining from the Grizzlies' lost season was the development of 2023 second-round pick G.G. Jackson, who played significant minutes and was named the all-rookie second team. So he's got the Grizzlies, for example. He's got them at 13. That's ahead of New Orleans. It's ahead of Sacramento. It's ahead of Golden State. It's ahead of the Lakers. It's ahead of the Clippers. So that kind of gives you an idea, you know, of what the Grizzlies are fighting for here. So they got OKC as the one seed. They're 2 in the power rankings. Minnesota 2, Dallas 3, Denver 4, and then the Phoenix Suns 5.
All right.
So I think that I personally believe that the Grizzlies should be ahead of the Phoenix Suns. I just feel like the depth is such a problem for them in the regular season that I just don't believe they have a chance to be the 5 seed or the 4 seed. Whereas the Grizzlies are deep, and it's what they do, right? When they're healthy, they are a top 2, top 3 type of seed. I expect that to remain the case. But I think that's probably fair. I mean, I think 13th is probably fair. I might be a little higher on the Grizzlies just because I'm projecting and I'm sort of presuming things that maybe other people are not willing to presume, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
I'm presuming health. I'm presuming that Edie's going to be great. You know, I'm presuming these things. Other people might not be there. I think 13 is fine. I think there's definitely a bull case to be made. They could be top 10. But, you know, look, it shouldn't surprise anybody from a national perspective that they need to be shown it.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies have to go prove it.
Well, because all these guys are snake bitten over the last year. I mean, the injuries have stacked up on them. By the way, speaking of, you know, the signees from the Suns, he wasn't with the Suns last year. He's with the Bucks and the Sixers. But Campaign signed a one-year, $3.1 million deal with the Knicks.
Congrats to Terry Johnson. That's big.
Yeah, so you got that done after some summer stuff going on with Cam. So kudos to Cam and his agent. Let's go to this U.S. game that's going on right now with 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter. These are quarter games, by the way. Serbia's still up 1, 20-19. Now 22-19 as they just scored. So Serbia almost 2 minutes remaining in the first quarter, up 3 on the U.S. Margin of victory for the U.S. as we go into the second quarter here. Margin of victory after it's all said and done, 15.5, John, over-under Serbia-U.S.
Over-under.
That was the pregame line.
Okay.
No Bogdan Bogdanovic for Serbia today.
Oh, wow. They're playing shorthanded.
But
the Serbs.
The United States is as well. No Durant.
There you go.
So, obviously, we know the game's already started.
Yep.
So we would say certainly under 15.5.
I think so.
The only question for me was, you know, because I wondered if...
I'm surprised at this, like, even if it's early.
I don't know. I'm not super surprised because, you know, you're talking about...
Jokic.
Exactly. And you're talking about FIBA.
Yep.
FIBA rules. So, it doesn't necessarily shock me that they're winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wondering about was, would Serbia play anybody? Because this is the first game of Olympic group play.
Try to save their dudes.
Yeah, in 11 days, they play the United States in a game that counts.
Yeah.
Right? It's the first game of the Olympics. So I wondered, would you just, you know, put all your bad guys out there and show the United States nothing? Clearly, they're not thinking in that way.
No.
They want to put Joker out there, and they want to punch the United States in the mouth, which it sounds like they have done.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got 6-5, it looks like, early.
Yeah, that is definitely going to be the spot where we are susceptible.
Yeah.
The big man.
A pick and roll with a big guy like that. They've got a couple of shooters, it looks like.
Yeah, it's, you know, our guards are, you know, as good as it gets, but our bigs are, you know, pretty lacking because Embiid is not fit for FIBA. Mm-hmm. He's just not. So, anyway, yeah, I'm going to say under. We'll keep you posted as this game goes on.
Embiid has not done what they thought he would do.
Nope, has not translated, and I don't know exactly why that is. You know, it's on paper, you would say, come on, Joel, let's play.
Right.
But it just doesn't seem like it's a good fit for whatever reason. Who knows? All right, we'll come back. Dan Wolken going to join us. We'll talk to him about all of this, get his thoughts on Sarr, Risa Shea, Edie, the Grizzlies, Memphis basketball. Lots more to come. Jason and John.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN. Dan Wolkin is a national columnist for USA Today Sports. Once upon a time, worked here in Memphis. Joins us now. Dan, we've been doing this show for 8 years, and this is the first time we've had the pleasure of having you on, man. So welcome to the show. Thanks for the time.
Is that possibly true?
It is. It's true. Well, you were exclusive to GP for so long, man. You were untouchable.
I've also been excommunicated because I had some not-so-nice things to say about Penny Hardaway.
Well, we'll get into that. we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I do want to start with some professional basketball because it appears we were both watching the same game last night with the Wizards and Blazers. And granted, I mean, it is against Klingon, even if Klingon was picked five spots below. But Alex Saar with the Washington Wizards, who maybe would have been an Atlanta Hawk if he was willing to work out, had one of the worst performances in summer league I think we've ever seen. 0-15, did not score. I know they say we're sort of taught not to ever react to something like this, but how can you not react to a performance that was that terrible?
Well, look, he's a talented player, and he is going to make an impact in NBA games on the defensive side of the ball for sure, but offensively it's just a rough watch right now, and it's probably going to be rough for quite a while. And I think the fundamental problem with Alex Saar, and you know, this is what we were talking about here in Atlanta before the draft, is you know, it's not so much that there was something about the Hawks or whatever. It's that he doesn't want to play center. He wants to be a power forward. Like, that's very, very clear. Now, the problem with that is I don't really think he's offensively skilled enough, at least at this point, to be a decent power forward in the NBA. And as far as Atlanta's concerned, their power forward position is set for quite a while. So it really wouldn't have made sense for them to take Alex Starr unless he was willing to play center over the long term. And that may be what he is just by inertia, because if you just have zero skill scoring the ball and passing and just don't really have a good feel for it, then, you know, that's where you're going to end up, just naturally. Also, the other thing is, this is a kid who, you know, kind of hopped around, right? He went from France, and then he came to Overtime Elite in Atlanta, did a year there, and then he goes down to Australia where he was kind of hidden and nobody was paying attention. And so there's kind of like this little thing going on with him. Was he running from the grind? You know, was he running from competition? Did he not want to get exposed? I don't know, but it's interesting, and you're certainly seeing in Summer League that there's limitations there, even if Summer League is not the be-all, end-all of where you're going to end up in your career.
He was running from Donovan Clingan last night. That's for damn sure. I mean, that's the part of it that's I agree. Like, Summer League is just an awful product. And we'll get into Reese Isay in a moment. But like, I do think there could be things you can extrapolate when you're talking about guys head to head, like guys head to head at a specific position, like Zach Edey last week against Walker Kessler. That's something that I think you can say, oh, okay, he showed that. And Klingon's a guy, you know, again, that if you can't score over Klingon, like, how are you going to do that against anybody professionally? I mean, you're right. Maybe it's just not going to happen at the center spot, but I don't know. I came away from that really, really. With a lot of doubt as to you know, him at the professional level as a two pick.
Well, and if you're a Washington Wizards fan watching Reed Shepard tear it up for the Rockets summer league team right now, you're also probably not feeling great about that either.
Right, that's true. Zachary Richache has had some flashes. Has not really shot the ball super well. I know you're our Atlanta Hawks correspondent there in Atlanta. I see it with him. He has a great sort of instinct about the game, and I'm open to the fact that Summer League is just almost beneath him from a you know, structural standpoint. What have you made of him, and what do you think his role is for Atlanta next season?
Well, I think one of the big unfortunate things that happened with the Summer League, and again, over the big picture, it's not going to matter much, but Kobe Bufkin, who was going to be the point guard for that Summer League team, who actually was pretty good late last season for the Hawks when he got healthy and played actual real minutes. And he's certainly a guy like they're going to be counting on next year coming off the bench. He was their first-round pick a year ago. He gets hurt, doesn't play in Summer League, so they don't have a point guard, and so their team is just a mess. With Richache, you know, what I wrote on draft night is, you know, and again, I'm not an expert on French basketball. It certainly didn't watch any of these guys play on a regular basis, but he's just the archetype of player right now that everybody wants in the NBA. Now, an archetype doesn't translate necessarily to you're going to be a player, but, you know, the height, the shooting, what he does off the ball, like, look at what, you know, the Knicks just paid OG Anunoby to get a big wing, you know, two-way wing like that. I mean, those players are valuable, and they're really hard to find if they hit. You know, I think he will slide in. I don't know if he's gonna start for Atlanta or come off the bench, but I think he's the type of guy that when you look at kind of how they're pivoting their team, all right, you've got Trae Young, and, you know, you're not gonna dump him anytime soon necessarily, unless he just demands a trade. So what's the best way to build the team? Well, long, you know, tall guys all over the floor. And they're actually, I think they've done a pretty good job of kind of resetting their team. So, you know, Dyson Daniels, they get in the trade for DeJounte Murray. You know, Zachary Richache. They actually now are building a team with guys who are plus size for their position at the 2, 3, 4, and 5. And if you can get that around Trae Young, that's probably the best iteration of what a Trae Young team can be. You know, again, if they hit, if Zachary Richey hits.
Yeah. Talking to Dan Wilkin, national columnist for USA Today Sports here on the show. Grizz draft Edie at 9. We've only seen him once. 14-15 had the game-tying tip-in at the free throw line. I don't know if you could have asked to for a better performance from him. Have not seen him since. But just from what you did see in that, I mean, what is your impression of Zach Edie and how he fits for the Grizzlies?
Well, that was the thing that kind of made me wonder when they made the pick is how does he fit? Because the NBA, and especially when you have a Ja Morant, like it's a real pick and roll game, and he doesn't seem to me like a pick and roll guy. Now he will screen,
right,
but it's the role part that is not really going to be his forte. So, I don't really take. Like I said, I don't take much from the summer league, especially with him, you know, given the age, the experience, and kind of the role. But, you know, Memphis is like a fast team. They play fast. That's kind of been their thing. Are they going to slow down? Is, like, that the new thing? Or is Edie going to somehow fit into, you know, the pace they want to play with Ja? I mean, that's for them to answer, but at least for right now, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe it will when we see it on the floor.
Yeah, they had to get something there because the vet market was pretty rough, and so I get the idea. I'm actually high on him because I think he's, you know, a highly intelligent basketball player and will do what he's asked. But I certainly understand that there are concerns about limitations and fit as well. All right, do want to get your thoughts on Memphis basketball, because when I was setting up the show, I talked about there are only, I think, a few people on a national level that truly understand Memphis basketball, what it is, what it should be, what it could be. And we're sort of entering a very awkward phase for Memphis right now, which is like it's a very divided fan base, I would say. Some fans and some boosters think that it's going good enough, and there are others who are starting to sort of grumble and say this is not going well enough at Memphis. What's just your assessment of the program and, you know, where it's headed into year 7 for Penny Hardaway?
Well, last year, watching them early in the season, I thought, wow, they finally kind of maybe have the right mix. I liked watching them play. I thought they had an interesting team. And then they get into the conference season, and it just completely falls apart. And not just in sort of, oh, you know, they really weren't that good. They were just kind of average. Like it just disintegrated. Whatever they had disintegrated. And so, you know, I thought from given all the wins they banked in non-conference, for them to miss the NCAA tournament was a disgrace. And they are the best program in the league in terms of resources and fans and all that stuff. And you know, people can say, well, it's not what it used to be. Whatever. Focus on the league. You should be winning the league. And they're not doing it with any sort of regularity. And I think that's the biggest indictment of the Penny Hardaway era. You know, my whole thing going back to when they hired Penny was I thought it was going to be a sugar high. I thought, all right, they're going to get this initial pop, and it's going to feel really good. And for a year, maybe two, they'll fill the building, and it's going to be great. And then it's going to wear off, and you got to perform. And I think I read after the season, like their actual turnstile count this past year was like 6,000 a game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty troubling,
yeah,
to me. And it suggests that people have kind of lost interest in what's gone on over there. And I think a lot of it is just a product of Penny not really ever settling on an identity for what they're going to be. And it just seems like it's changing all the time. There's not a core organizational philosophy to what he's doing, and it's just, let's just try to get, you know, the best freshman or the best portal guy or whatever, and we'll figure it out. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think they figured it out.
So, okay, let's just sort of let's just sort of talk this through, because we've been doing that here. This is the second straight season for Penny in Memphis, flipping the entire roster in the sense of you're returning 10% or fewer minutes from the season before. Now, again, like how many guys would you have wanted to bring back from last year? I don't know. But at the end of the day, all roads still lead back to Penny. That's your choice. And it's a second straight year of flipping your roster entirely. A team that's done that has never made the NCAA tournament in the transfer portal era. So the odds are against them doing that if we're using history as our guide. If Memphis doesn't make the tournament this season, that would be two straight. Is there a decision to be made? Is it obvious at that point? Like, what would you make of that scenario?
Well, it's obvious for me, but I'm sitting here, you know, 350 miles away, and I'm not in it every day like you are. Look, if it's me making a calculus on what's best for the program, then you just make a change and you get somebody else, and you keep trying until you get it right. Like, that's just what you do in this business. People who argue, and I've seen this on Twitter and elsewhere, well, okay, you fire him, you know, who are you going to get? Or, you know, you can't get anybody who could do better than Penny. I don't know. I mean, he has performed well below the historic norm for Memphis basketball. I know a lot of things have changed about college basketball in general and specifically about the conference they're in over time. Certainly not to Memphis's benefit in all of those cases. But the idea that Penny Hardaway is the only person in the entire coaching community who can get Memphis basketball to the NCAA tournament, I just reject that completely. And if you have to make the decision that he's not the right guy to lead that program to where they want to be, I don't think it would be that hard to get somebody else who's very good and who could get you back to the tournament within a couple years.
And what I would argue, too, is that, you know, those changes that you mentioned, a lot of those actually have benefited Memphis. I mean, they haven't been in a decent league for basketball since 2003, so that's not different. This one's just as bad as Cal's Conference USA, right? Maybe even a little better. I don't know. I'd have to go pull up the old RPI. But in terms of NIL, I mean, there are some people I talk to that believe Memphis has a top five, top ten NIL outfit for basketball. Now, again, depending on the day, you'll hear all kinds of things. You'll hear from Memphis, they say, oh, we don't have any NIL. And then you'll hear on a different day when they get a good player, we have great NIL. So it just depends on the day. But like, I actually think Memphis, like, sometimes you'll see this, right? Like, what you start to see is fans will kind of diminish and marginalize the quality of the job. Penny kind of did this last month to sort of, you know, rationalize the results. And I think that's the part of it that's like, you should never be trying to do if the results aren't coming.
Well, there are certain times where you absolutely can look at certain circumstances and say, you know, this is why it didn't quite live up to expectations, and everybody can live with that if it makes sense. But like last year, for instance, you bring in a whole different group of guys, NIL, not NIL, whatever it is, and you start the way they started, and then you just completely lose the plot. I mean, to me, that suggests nothing except that Penny Hardaway didn't have a very good grasp on the chemistry, on the egos, on the, you know, the selfishness. And guess what? That's like 60% of being a college basketball coach is being able to manage all that. Yep. If you can bring in all the talent in the world, but if you don't get that part right, then you're not going to achieve to the level you want to achieve.
Yeah, we're talking to Dan Wilkin, national columnist for USA Today Sports. A couple things before we get you out of here. Obviously, college football is cranking up. We're having SEC Media Days. We had Big 12 Media Days last week. And obviously, for the time being, there is a spot that is allotted for the best team from the group of five. I believe in terms of the betting markets, Boise State and Liberty have the best odds to grab that spot. But right behind them is Memphis. If you were making a bet, and I know you don't, but if you were, which group of five team would you wager on grabbing that first spot in the new college ball playoff?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, sure, any of those. I mean, give me Memphis, whatever.
Give him Memphis.
Very, very good chance that they're going to win that league. And if they do, I think there's a good chance they'll be the team. You know, I think in the bigger picture, though, like, how all of this is going to work in the 12-team era, you know, it's just going to be fascinating to see how the committee, if there's a different philosophy or approach to how they look at these teams. You know, if you remember last year, there was this big debate at the end of the year about SMU versus Liberty to get that spot, and they gave it to Liberty, and Liberty went out and absolutely got their doors blown off by
right.
Oregon.
Right.
And, you know, and I think everybody who kind of looks analytically at this would have told you SMU would have been a much better representative in that game because even though, you know, they may have lost one more game, they were the better team.
Right.
Have there been any lessons learned about that? Is the committee going to take a different approach when you're talking about 12 and they're spending more time probably on teams ranked in that range than they would have in the 14 playoff era? Like, these are all things I can't predict. It's mm-hmm. it's just a whole new data set that's going to come into this committee discussion when we get to 12, and I'm fascinated to see how it plays out.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I think that's the part of it. I think we're going to look up, and this is just my guess, we're going to look up in 3-4 years, and the team that breaks through most years is going to get killed, and they're never going to make an impact or a real run at a championship, and you're going to see the power broker say, why are we giving these teams a spot? They're not real teams. So is it a likelihood, you think, that – you know, that this spot just doesn't exist for the group of five? Like, how would you handicap that?
Well, I think for that to happen, there would have to be a lot more shifts in conference realignment, more consolidation, and more kind of a power grab from these other leagues. You know, I think you could also look at it from the opposite end to say, all right, this team most years is probably going to get the 12 seed, which means they're going to play the 5 seed in the first round. So, you know, first of all, that might actually be a competitive game because you're not playing the number 1 team. You're playing the number 5 team.
Right.
Which certainly, you know, closes that gap yep. somewhat. And second of all, it's also maybe a little bit of a reward, you could say, you know, because you know, for the 5 seed, if it's Notre Dame or whoever it might be, they'd probably rather play, yeah. at least on paper, a team like Memphis than, I don't know, whoever was number 12 last year. So I kind of think that the balance of it is good,
okay.
But that doesn't necessarily account for other, you know, things that may happen if the ACC dies or something like that.
Right. And then last thing, I saw you tweet about this last night. I don't have a lot of time anymore with 2 kids to sit down and watch things, but when I see a Wolken recommendation, I am tempted to start it. You recommended this new Netflix docuseries, Turning Point, The Bomb in the Cold War. It's that good?
Yeah, good history. Good history lesson on just the rise of nuclear war and going back to, you know, the Manhattan Project, and then it goes into, you know, the tensions and U.S. and Russia or the Soviet Union, you know, building up their nuclear arsenals, and then the Soviet Union falling apart, and different foreign policy decisions that the U.S. has made that subsequently have pulled the U.S. and Russia back into conflict, and then it's all sort of framed with the war in Ukraine. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's just long. It's long. It's like 9 episodes, and they're each over an hour, and it's very sort of heavy and a little bit depressing and scary, but I thought it was great, and I'm a history guy, so I thought it was really cool.
Oh, it's a perfect series for our time, Dan. That's exactly it. Nihilistic, depressing, dark. This is perfect for our time in the world right now. Hey, man, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Have a good summer.
Yes, sir. He is Dan Wolken.
Thanks, Dan.
USA Today national columnist. Good stuff from him. Yeah, he's got certainly an interesting perspective there on Memphis for sure, and I think his sentiment echoes, you know, a lot of what you'll hear, which is Memphis can hire a good coach.
Yep,
like it's possible. You know, Pitty could still be a good coach. It doesn't have to. And I think he is in certain areas, and others lacking a little bit. We all have our, you know, our shortcomings. But I think it's a, you know, again, it's a good reminder, yet another national sort of personality coming on here and say, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be bad for Memphis. Like, they don't have to settle into this not making the tournament.
Woe is me stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this way.
Well, I thought obviously we're talking a lot about, we're kind of talking around it, the comments Penny made on the podcast where he says, you know, after me, it sort of isn't going to be like
this.
Yeah,
he said it would go down.
So
yeah.
I tend to think that good leaders say that they'll leave places better than they found them.
Oh, sure.
Am I wrong about that?
I just think for him, he's feeling attacked, so he doesn't really care about that right now. He just feels like
nobody's attacking him. I think that the consensus is that we got an opportunity here, you know, and we just gotta plow through.
Yeah, look, I agree. I don't think anybody is attacking him. But I'm just telling you that's how he feels.
That's how he feels. You know?
I believe the United States has retaken the lead,
hey,
by the way.
We're up 9. Yeah, it's 49-40 with 3:30 going second quarter.
There
so now
go.
We're starting to pull away. They were down like 6 for a while, 7.
There you go.
And we flipped the script, John.
There you go.
Serbia is running out of gas in this friendly.
I could see them definitely mailing it in from here on out. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, why? Like, we play them again in 12 days.
Right.
We don't have to like put Joker back out there.
Well, and Jokic, every time I look over at the screen, he's in and he's... They're trying to get him the ball. I mean, he's really all... I don't know. They got a bunch of little dudes and Jokic out there. That's literally what it looks like. It looks like four little people and a giant.
That's what they've got, man.
My analysis.
That's the Serbian basketball team.
Yeah, Jokic has 10 points out of the 42 points.
Okay, wow. He's not even like half the scoring.
He has not been their, quote, centerpiece.
How about that? All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I just trying to find ESPN.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.